Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. It is us once again, two fanboys and a filthy casual. Harold's already smirking. That is Harold. That is Lewis. And I am Dennis.
All right.
I think I'm just going to do from now this on, whole episode. Right. I'm just going to do it myself.
You thought to yourself?
Yes, exactly. As long as I'm just talking to myself, we're cool. Right. So, today we're going to be talking a little bit about wrestling. We haven't done, considering that Harold and Lewis are supposed to be a wrestling experts.
Supposed to be, I guess.
We haven't really talked much about about wrestling recently. And so we kind of have a wrestling themed episode today. But before we do that, let's talk about, let's kind of catch up. Let's talk about fanboy things, geek things that maybe you've been up to, you've been watching, you've been perusing, you've been reading, something, whatever that is that you have. So since I've done pretty much all the talking the last minute, I'm going to throw it to you guys.
All right. For me personally, I binged watched The Boys on Amazon. It's one of the new comic book adaptations on Amazon Prime or Amazon Streaming, whatever they call themselves nowadays. Great watch. I read the original comic books by Garth Ennis. I think that's how you pronounce it. Is it Ennis or Ennis?
I don't know.
Never.
Is it
that is a sexy name?
Is it Penis or never mind.
Jeez. So yeah, the writer of Preacher, Punisher, and all that stuff. So if you can imagine, this dude loves his carnage and his violence and his gore. But it's actually really
what carnage?
Yes. No. No. No.
I thought you said that he loves.
He loved carnage. He didn't write carnage though.
Oh.
He loves Frank Castle.
Oh.
So and I can't remember the preacher's name. Preacher, but Preacherson.
Oh okay.
Yeah. So
Father Doyle, I believe.
Was it really?
Yeah, O'Doyle rules.
Jeez. Where are we going with this?
Something about
The Boys, yeah. I binged all 8 episodes. Highly recommend it if you have this, if you have Amazon. It is, just warning, it is very vulgar, it is very gory. Off the bat, the first episode, it's basically a story of how it would be if superhero. I know it's kind of tired at this point, but it's another story of how real people would deal with superheroes in their lives. The story begins when just a Joe Schmo named Huey is having a conversation with his girlfriend, and their version of the Flash, a super speedster, literally runs into her and she explodes into a bomb of blood and bone and gore.
This is the first episode.
This is the first 10 minutes. I'm like, nice. Whoa, okay, nice. So definitely, I couldn't
again,
watch it around my kids.
They use the Flash character as a bumbling idiot.
Exactly.
But at the same time,
I guess they're watching, the DC version.
Isn't that pretty cool that, they've never shown repercussions of the Flash running into anybody?
So. I know, right? Because he's so conveniently, phases through yes. stuff. This guy is just like, whoops. you're right. If you do physics, if the Flash trips, dude's not going to stop. He's going to keep rolling until...
He's going to block everybody in the room.
That's a great verb, by the way.
He's made of electricity.
He's going to block you. Sometimes you got to pay extra for that, too.
Only in Brazil.
In Brazil, it's just called Monday.
Where?
This is, I don't know.
Brazil!
Stupid. 30 years later, it's the only way to drop.
Thailand.
Of course, you would go back to Thailand.
I would go to Thailand.
Sagat. I had to watch myself there.
The one curse.
It's a long A. Sagat.
Can't be a long O.
So okay, I like that one. It's actually something I was gonna start watching, but I was waiting for my wife to watch with me,
uh-huh.
And so I was like, "Let's see, let's check it on Amazon." I was like, "Oh, she's watched the first episode."
Oh, as usual,
betrayal most foul.
So that is something.
She's getting you back for the Cobra Kai thing.
I think so too. She hasn't watched it yet either. Do you still have the YouTube?
I'm good. You got it.
Good. We're still
good. Excuse my login, man. You're good.
For me, you know, a couple of things that I've been watching. You know, one thing that I think I mentioned it during the animation episode and a couple times over and over again that, you know, it's hard for me to find good cartoons that I actually like. Personally, I actually am in love with, like, some of the more modern cartoons, but not, like, the more mature ones. Like, I you know, I've talked about my love for My Little Pony and everything. She-Ra, which, by the way, is coming up with season 3.
Oh, right.
Season 2 was amazing.
Okay.
Really good. You should watch it. It's really odd the way they've done, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I've watched all those things, but one of the things that I've really not been able to get to is just, you know, things like Adventure Time, Bob's Burgers and everything. And I think it all has to do with the idea of, like, the ugly animation, if there's anything that we can call it. But because Lewis and Harold has been talking about how they like the show, I've actually really attempted to watch Bob's Burger. Bob's Burgers.
Hamburgers.
So Bob's Burgers is it's finally got around to watch it, and I have to tell you, it's I don't know if it's my cup of tea yet. I'm really forging on. You know, I'm at episode 13 so far.
I like
far.
How you're making it sound like I have a gun to your head. Enjoy H. John Benjamin,
and,
man.
And that's the thing. And I think that's the one reason why I keep on going back to is because if it was somebody else aside from Benjamin, I would not watch it. But just because I get to hear him,
yeah.
It's like a warm blanket. Or a warm blanca if it's from Brazil, right? Because that's Portuguese.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. For blanket.
Because, yeah, you're like the biggest Archer guy. And on the flip side of that, you've been recommending Archer. I finally caught up on it, or at least, you know, I've been watching it over the summer. Great binge. And, yeah, you're right. H. John Benjamin's voice. It is like a warm electric blanca.
But although I love the fact that you got to know him with Bob's voice first.
Yes. So it's very Archer. Weird. Like, how is his dad of three going to be a secret spy? I don't know how to get this.
And mine was the opposite. Yeah. I was like, why is he not shooting people? Like, there's been a couple episodes where he's supposed to, like, beat up and he just runs away. I'm like, yeah. Come on. Archer would have gone in there and kicked ass, you know? But it's, again, I told myself I'm going to wait until the end of season one. At one point, I still have not, I still don't really like it. I'm finally going to let go and actually be able to say that I tried.
You gave it that college try, yeah.
And although I was telling Lewis and Harold on the chat, it just so happened the one episode that I actually, like, really laughed at was the one where Bob like starts becoming a cabbie and starts, like, befriending, like, the transvestites.
Yeah.
Just goes to show.
That's the one I was like, and that was the thing. I was like, okay, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the episode where I'm gonna like it and I'm gonna, you know, continue falling in love with it. And then, you know, at the end, they don't go back to it. Where the Italian, I keep on forgetting the Italian guy's name, his arch nemesis,
yeah, across the street.
You know, it's like, look, and there was an episode, one of the last episodes, where they're still fighting against each other, and I'm like, hey, why don't you just bring up the fact that he's Wawa baby or something like that? You have that, and you're not using it. You forget, you know. So it's just bugging me, I guess. But I'm gonna try.
I got a couple of things, actually. The first thing is, I'll talk about the second thing later. But
yeah, because we're going one.
Yeah, we're going in order.
Yeah.
And I was telling the guys, there's a show that I watch that I don't know of anybody else of my friends that I watch that watches the show, and I remember bringing it up on that Shamey episode we did a long time ago. The show is called Ink Master. It's about, you know, a tattoo competition, trying to figure out who the best tattoo artist in the competition is, and it's, you know, like fun and games where it's like, you know, you try to eliminate each other, who has the worst tattoo of the day, and then that person gets eliminated.
God, that sounds like a really bad contest.
Yeah. So if you get the messed up amazing one, it's like,
kind of permanent.
Yeah, it's like, jeez. The eraser doesn't work that well, guys. But then this season is actually kind of interesting because they have, usually the dynamic is you just have, I think, 20 or so artists come in and they all just battle against each other. And then a couple of times they've created teams. And for this season, they've created two different teams, but the teams are separated by sex. So it's the girls versus the guys. Okay. And it's weird because I think this is, I don't remember how many times, and this might be like 12 or 13 seasons or whatever, but a woman has only won once, and they've only had been finalists maybe four times total. So to throw a bunch of women against a bunch of men, it was going to be difficult anyway. So, but right now, as of this recording, the women have more artists left than the guys do.
Oh, nice.
And it's just fun because, you know, having a competition where, like you said, the person with the worst tattoo of the day is still stuck with the worst tattoo.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's just...
It's not like Master Chef. You mess up your dish, you can throw it away.
Yeah.
Have there been, like, really terrible...
Dude, tattoos? There have been some horrible... Like, so there used to be a show called Tattoo Nightmares.
Yeah, I think I remember. Yeah,
so okay. They would have those guys would come back to a shop and then have it, like, do, like, a cover-up or have it fixed and whatever. That show doesn't exist anymore, so... I mean, you'd have to go back to another shop and finish it up. Sometimes they have other things where they follow up and be like, yeah, this was unfinished, so let's fix it. So literally, the guy that went home last week, he had been winning a bunch of contests, and he finally did a tattoo where he was supposed to... They're supposed to make it, like, some kind of interesting. So the kid asked for a horse riding a cowboy. So, you know, the opposite. So they go with the most typical horse and cowboy that he knows. It's a... Woody and I forgot the name of the horse already.
Horsey?
I forgot the name of the horse. I want to say Trigger? That's wrong. But he had the horse riding Woody, but it was really badly done just for this particular tattoo.
Uh-huh.
So based off one bad tattoo, the guy who had been winning is gone. So it's like you never know who's going to win, who's going to lose the thing. It's just funny to watch, and then having everybody interact. They're like all a bunch of weirdos anyway. Uh-huh. So it's like putting them all in one house is just fun to watch.
The host of that show is like...
Chris Navarro.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I was the tip of the tongue. I've seen this. What channel is this on again?
It is on the Tantamount Network.
No?
Paramount Network. Oh. Used to be Spike.
Yeah, right, exactly. Used to be TNN.
Used to be the Nashville Network. And then it was the Network. And then it became Spike. You know, TV for dudes.
The Guys Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else are you doing, Dennis?
I found this show, and it's really taken a hold of me, and I'm really obsessed with it. It's called Holy Moly.
Oh, yeah.
Steph Curry show? Steph Curry show. It's the stupidest premise. It's competitive miniature golf.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because, first and foremost, the premise itself is hilarious. But there are, like, it's almost like the Nickelodeon, like, game show, Double Dare and everything. But, you know, so there's one where you have to sink a 10-foot putt. So you're on a platform. If you miss that putt, you're going to fall into water. You know, so whoever between the two competitors, so that's one of the things. The other one is, you've gone to miniature golf things where there's not Ferris wheels.
The windmill?
The windmills. But this time, the windmill is huge, and you actually have to run through the actual blades. And at least the five episodes I've seen, at least each day, each episode, there's at least one person that eats it to the point where it looks painful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so all of those things are already the great premise. But what makes it amazing, first and foremost, Seth Curry is not just the executive producer.
Seth Curry?
Oh, Steph.
I was like, well, Steph be a lower-end TV show.
Seth Curry is the executive producer. Couldn't even get a good Curry. But there's one where the contestant has to choose between him and a robot golfer to shoot to shoot a hole. So that's already one. And I was watching, is that Steph Curry?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh wow, it is. But the one thing that makes it amazing is it Rob Riggle? I think
Rob Riggle is the co-host.
Rob Riggle is, again, being Rob Riggle, like super Rob Riggle. But the funny part is that there's a guy, Joe Tesseri or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he plays the straight man, right? Yeah. Or tries to.
It's impossible because you just see him every... It's like, it's like him breaking character. Every single day, because it's just Rob Riggle coming up with like the stupidest, most
inappropriate
things, and he has to like sit there and kind of like
know. If the whole show was just Rob Riggle saying pow.
Yeah,
I would watch the hell out of that show. It's
an adult time. No, my favorite. I've seen one episode. Yeah, Rob Riggle's ridiculous because he goes way over the top. But I think my favorite part though is how they try to splice. You can tell it's like it's stock footage of Steph Curry because he can't be bothered to go to these things every day. So it's like, here's Steph Curry in his lounge chair because you know he did like probably 10 of those promos.
No.
Oh, really?
He's actually there in every episode. Really?
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
When he loses the finals.
There's always one where, like I said, they have to decide. Yeah. And it's actually, like, at first I thought it was, but he actually goes and stands next to the contestants and like, oh,
okay.
My question is, does the robot play defense?
No.
Yeah.
So just like Steph Curry. All right, cool.
Yeah. Jeez.
So speaking of Rob Riggle, you know how Shark Week just passed?
Yeah.
Did you
the best part of Shark Week?
Yeah. Did you watch Shaq versus the Shark or something like that?
No.
Shaquille O'Neal was part of Shark Week, and the whole
Shaquille O'Neal.
Exactly, they were coming up with like all these puns there, but you know the whole idea was that Shaquille was not going to do it because he's scared. So they hire a life coach, and the life coach is Rob Riggle, and again it's just Rob Riggle being Rob Riggle. So there's one point where he's where Shaq is asking questions. And the experts are sitting there going, why does Shaq listen to Rob? Rob says the worst things that he should not be following. So Shaq goes, what happens if a shark comes at me? And he's like, wiggle your fingers at him. You know, he gets scared. Like, he just comes up with really stupid stuff like that. And Shaq's like, oh, okay. And again, so holy moly, Shark Week with Rob Riggle. We need to do a Rob Riggle episode. Just a Rob Riggle.
I got the Daily Show days.
It's a kettling of wine mixer.
Nice. Change of pace. One of the other things I'm doing lately is I downloaded this great game on the Switch called Moonlighter. No surprise, I downloaded it because it's on sale.
Is the one with Bruce Willis?
Yes. Yeah, and dang, I can't remember her name. Thank you, damn it. Tip of my tongue. This is why
yeah, simple shepherd, the tip of your tongue.
And a booger from a Revenge of the Nerds.
Nice, dude.
If you could... I really wish that this is a video podcast right now, because Dennis getting the realization that one of the co-stars of Moonlighting was booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
I'm shocked.
Like, sure. Dennis has small eyes. I mean, they're still small, but like,
it became a little
huge now.
You can almost put contacts in.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, Moonlighter, great game. It's a top-down like dungeon game, kind of like the old Legend of Zelda ones. But the added gimmick, I guess, is that so you go to these dungeons, you kill these poor monsters who are probably just trying to live their lives. But the cool thing is the next part of it is, you basically hoard the material that you get from killing them, and you get to turn around and sell it, and then you get to build your village. So I've never played Animal Crossing before, but I'm assuming it's kind of like that. So you get elements of like a dungeon Zelda type game.
Yeah, no, completely different.
Totally different. I'm thinking of another game there, where he's like build. It's like, oh, no, I was going to say not Sims.
It's like city. Apples to bullets.
To not apples at all. But, you know, so you get to build your own little village after you make some kind of income from selling these goblin eyes and horns and all that jazz. So it's
like Warcraft or...
Oh, okay. Is that what Warcraft? I haven't played Warcraft.
Because it was expensive.
Wasn't it free?
No.
Warcraft wasn't free? Oh, I got the illegal copies.
Yeah, you got the illegal copies.
So
from America Online?
Yeah, StarCraft. Nice.
So, yeah, that's what's sucking up my time, and, like, a really good investment. So, I might put a review of that online.
Last one, H?
One quick thing before we go into the other quick thing. Andy Serkis directing Venom 2.
Yeah, so, pretty big news. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
I like the fact that we're not talking about news.
I know we're just talking about random stuff, yeah, but, like, okay. I like, you know, that's for nobody that they didn't have any faith, you know, in the first... a Venom movie, and now they come back with a director who himself only done, I think he's only done that one
he's
Jungle
done the,
Book movie.
Yeah, the Mowgli.
The Mowgli movie. Thing, which was a thing. But, I mean, to attach him to where they already have Woody Harrelson and Tom Hardy coming back for this, I mean, this could be something fun and interesting.
Yeah, it should be exciting, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, his directing list is kind of short, but the fact that, yeah, he was Caesar and he was Golem, obviously. Like,
at the very least, you know for a fact he's going to know how to use
the mocap. Right, yes, mocap. Exactly. He's going to know how to use the mocap.
And he'll be able to direct people. And, I mean,
yeah.
As someone who, you know, like you said, playing some of the biggest like CGI characters of all time.
Yeah.
Big enough that they almost nominated him for like an Oscar for playing Golem, like, or Gollum, sorry. Yeah, you know, that's just a nice thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, the first Venom was fine. I think when we reviewed it, we thought it was an okay movie. It wasn't gonna blow anything out of the water, but yeah, with the right directing and the right script, I'm hoping that it'll do well. Because I mean, yeah, Tom Hardy's a good actor,
and if Tom Holland's there,
I think, and then like you said,
freaking 9 movies.
Is it really? Is this contract for
this? Wow. Just re-signed 9 movies, dude.
Jeez, dude. So kids set till he's like Robert Downey Jr.'s
age. He's going to be like 28, right? All done.
Oh, God, dude. He's
like 24.
Oh, God.
He's relatively
old. He's old.
He's over the hill.
Can't wait for him to die in the ninth movie.
And then now since Lewis talked about video games, I finally got my PlayStation Classic because it was on sale for $20.
You're cheap ass.
Dude, $20.
I know.
Whoa, and then, whoa. That's the pot calling the kettle dirty.
Okay. I know, yeah. Cheap.
but I haven't hacked it yet, but I will hack it eventually. But literally, I paid the $20 just so I could play Final Fantasy VII. And I hadn't played the game, you know, since 1994? 96, something like that. And I remembered how bad I was at Final Fantasy VII, even though it's a direct sequel, technically direct sequel from Final Fantasy III/6, which I'm an expert at. But and I also forgot how crappy the graphics are PlayStation 1. So,
are you playing on like a 4K TV or?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
So dude. Literally, it's like you know how Minecraft looks. Yeah, it looks worse than Minecraft.
Nice. Dude. So,
like when I was looking at the characters, I was like.
Cloud or is that fire?
No, there's like that section where Cloud has to dress as a woman, and there's like a lot of the story that I kind of forgot about, and I was like, this video game could not be made nowadays, because it's like they're joking about cross-dressing, there's like the president looks really close to Donald Trump, it's not good. But I mean, still fun.
So yeah, so hey, $20, that's pretty good.
Dude, $20 and you get like 20 games, so it's a dollar a game.
Because I was going to say, I think even now the Final Fantasy games still fetch a pretty high price because they're still like the actual hard copy of those old games. So,
and it's just funny because like the system now is, you know, there's no memory card slots like there was before.
Oh, okay.
So when you have to save the game, you have to wait till it says slot open. And then when it's like you have to change the disc, you actually have to press a button that changes the disc. I mean, nothing. There's no disc to change, but like
it's okay. So it's like the Super Nintendo where you just like you press the reset or the
well, because they didn't make this remake version to go continuously through. Like they have the remake that's coming up for the PS4. This one is an actual just a direct port. So in the original Final Fantasy VII. Once a disc is done, you know, you gotta pop it in a new one. And then this one, it's like, there's no other disc, so you have to press a button. So it's weird.
You go through the motions at least. All right, that's cool. I still remember that being like a big deal on the old EGM. There you go. EGM magazine.
I like the fact that they got called you cheap and never actually.
Hey, dude.
He said, because I heard about it. But a real quick story before we go into our main topic. I remember the first person who had
mentioned EGM.
Yeah, triggered
monthly. That thing was bi-monthly, but it's bi. My sister was one of the first people besides Dennis that I knew that owned a PlayStation 1. But the only game she had at her dorm was Resident Evil. And
classic.
I was like 15 or 14 at the time. And she's like, yeah, there's nobody in my house. So you can play this video game all by yourself with no lights on. And when I went back to go play that game, I literally had that flashback, and I was like, "You know what? I think I'll play this another time." But I definitely
dog jumping out of a window. I hated that.
When I hacked it, like the first game I'm gonna get is Resident Evil 2, because I think that's still my favorite one.
Oh, so you can hack the PlayStation?
I mean, I've heard or
allegedly.
I've done it with my Nintendo and Super Nintendo, so.
Yeah, which Harold doesn't want to tell me how to do it. Whatever.
He'll send you a link.
Yeah,
I did send you a link.
You didn't.
Oh, that was for the other thing.
Yeah, whatever, bro. Okay, now that
I swear I paid for this.
Now that I'm angry about this, let's
let's go back to our original title or topic. As I mentioned, we haven't talked about wrestling yet. So, you know, one of the most important and one of the most memorable characters, and there's been a lot of characters. We've kind of talked about Hulk Hogan before. We've talked about Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, we've mentioned The Rock. We've mentioned other big names, but we haven't really done a deep dive of any one of these people. So, you know, which person do you want to start off with today?
I think we got to go with somebody who's really relevant, who's got a movie out in theaters, The Rock. So, you know, for the younger generation, he's called Dwayne Johnson. No, not my guy, not me. So, you know, he'll be forever. No, he'll forever be The Rock to, you know, guys and gals who made it through the Attitude Era of the late 90s. Yeah, so, you know, he's kind of a big deal now. He's got a huge movie, Hobbs and Shaw, I think it's like the number one movie right now. And he's been wrestling since the mid-90s? Mm-hmm. Third generation superstar, son of
Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson, and grandson of High Chief Peter Maivia. See? I know my wrestling sometimes. Yeah, find myself on the back. I didn't even look at my phone.
I'm just giving you a thumbs up. I'm like, yes,
sure. He's also Yokozuna's brother. I'm just kidding. That's enough of me. So yeah, the Rock. Let's talk about The Rock.
Now, real quick, are we going to be talking about, you kind of mentioned his accomplishments on the big screen, but since we're talking about wrestling, we're going to be
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jim Ross.
Time with that. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim Ross.
Yeah. So. I think we'll save the whole movie,
yeah,
Dwayne Johnson, for another day. But today, I think we kind of honor and we kind of talk about, you know, the wrestler that is The Rock.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I think, you know, it's funny because it was a reaction I didn't even thought was going to come. Because every time you say Dwayne Johnson, I kind of cringe. I'm like, who's that guy? Because to me, like I said, he's The Rock. Because, you know, he's for In a timeline sense, he actually has a pretty short career wrestling wise compared to like Hulk Hogan and, you know, and even Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's been wrestling with like WCW and ECW since the late 80s. The Rock had a pretty relatively short career, but his rise was so fast and so bright that I can't imagine. Like, I think part of me feels like Vince McMahon's been trying, Vince McMahon being the owner of the WWE, WWF back then, has been trying to like copy that formula ever since with John Cena, with Roman Reigns, with, you know, Seth Rollins nowadays, and all those superstars since then. So yeah, I mean, let's start from the beginning. Where did we first start hearing about The Rock, or where were you guys when? I think his name was, help me out here, Harold.
When Flex first, Cavana?
Thank you. That's his name. What was his name? He had like a corny outfit. He was totally.
Oh, when he first started out,
yeah,
in the WWF.
Yes,
he was Rocky Maivia.
Right, Rocky Maivia.
He came in as Rocky Maivia.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was like some dark horse kid who was all smiles and you know, playing it's kind of the same. He came from the kind of corny, you know, late 80s, early 90s version of the WWF that was being sold at the time with like your weird caricatures. So, you know, he was just a good me another guy. He was a handsome guy who, like I mentioned earlier, third generation superstar. So he had a lot of that going on for him. So what were our thoughts about early Rock or early,
Rocky Maivia?
Rocky Maivia. Thank you.
Man, I specifically remember the vignettes. If you guys don't know what a vignette is, it's like those small kind of commercials that
where the grapes, you know, come from.
Yes, that too. Yeah, they have a lot of vignettes in Napa,
in Samoa, apparently.
Yeah, in Samoa, Hawaii. But for wrestlers, you know, before they debut, you know, you give a little bit of preview of who they are. So for his, it was just weird because it was just him training, and I was like, am I supposed to be excited about this guy?
Yeah,
like you're debuting around the same time that the NWO is coming out.
Or oh right, came yeah, out, yeah.
And there's all these big characters, and then you have a guy. And The Rock would make fun of himself. He already has like a pineapple haircut and a really terrible costume. And his first debut was at Survivor Series 96, I think. And came out, he was the last man standing, and he was like so pumped, and you're like, yeah, good job, man. And then from then on, it was just, his finisher was crappy because it was just a shoulder breaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, dude, this, it's like a, you know, the shoulder breaker is already a crappy version of a Tombstone Piledriver, except their head doesn't hit the ground. Their shoulder hits your knee. Like, so
really
that's,
hard.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my traps. No, it's literally like, I used to always think that the shoulder breaker was like, just break one shoulder so they can't get their shoulder up on that pin. It's like, oh, I can't kick out because he broke his shoulder. But no, that's not how wrestling works.
Yeah, really. He just kind of shake his head really hard.
And then it was just like, that's, you're stuck with that character for a while. And then he just became super stale.
Yeah, like he reminded me a lot of like early Owen Hart when he was the Rocket. Or, you know, those kind of...
The Blue Blazer?
Blue Blazer, I'm sorry. Yeah, or those kind of like... if Vince McMahon was kind of still... Even in the early 90s, he was still very stuck in his, like, 80s ways of, yep, like, these guys got to be larger than life, caricatures of who they were. Which, you know, not to spoil where we fast forward, but that's what The Rock or Dwayne Johnson eventually embraces. And that's what I think what made him a superstar is that he basically turned his own... himself up to like a higher level, basically, or exaggerated himself. So yeah, I mean, early The Rock was very forgettable in a sense, because like you got, you know, he's shoulder to shoulder with Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He wasn't even Triple H back then, just a dude from a supposed blue blood and all that jazz, and Jeff Jarrett with a corny.
With my baby tonight.
Yeah, with his corny country gimmick. So it's weird. And then you're right. I forget to put it in context, but like right across, not the street, but down a few channels, WCW is gearing up to take over because they get Hulk Hogan. They got all the big WWF names over there. And, you know, people are starting to tune out of WWF. So it's crazy to me that, you know, Vince would have such faith, I guess, in basically a guy that nobody really knew and, you know, hoping that it would turn out something.
Yeah, which is weird, considering that he win the, like, Intercontinental.
Yeah, he won title. It fairly early, yeah, against then, Triple H.
And to the point where, at least, and that's the thing, I didn't catch him the very first part of his rise. I actually started, when I started watching wrestling, like, seriously again, it was when, right before he became part of the Nation of Domination.
That's right, yeah, yep.
And, but the thing that kind of caught me was that when he was wrestling, there was so many people that were, like, it was vilified, even though they were trying
to... Die, Rocky, die.
Exactly. Even though he was supposed to be a face at that point, yeah. He was trying to be pushed forward, there was so much hatred, there was so much, like vile, you know, words for him that it almost seemed natural. And I don't know if it was his idea, if it was Vince's idea, but I think it, you know, he evolved to the wrestler that he was the moment he became part of the Nation of Domination. Yeah. When he actually denounced the name Rocky Maivia, and he started, you know, the one shtick that has stuck even to this day, even in his movies, is the fact that he refers to himself in the first person.
Third person?
Or third person.
Well, because from what I always remember this, it was people hated him. I wasn't like, I didn't hate him. I was never going to chant Die, Rocky, Die.
Yeah.
But I would be like, boo, this guy's boring. Because he's very, like, you know, they say, like, if your character is very boring, they call you vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah. Ironic, because he's more like Mocha.
Yeah, and he's literally half Samoan and half African American. Like, you can't, there's no vanilla in there. There's nothing in that shake. But, like, you have him coming out and people are like booing him endlessly. And it's like, it took an injury. It took him getting hurt for him to come back as a
villain. I don't remember that part. Okay.
Because this is.
His early career was very forgettable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so go ahead.
This is the thing is, and I know, just for me, is the.
Wait, that's the one with Mankind, right? I think it was.
No. So what happened is, well, he gets injured, right? And then he's off for a few months. And then can't remember exactly who he attacked, but they thought he was in the audience and they were like, oh, the Rocky Maivia is back. And then they thought he was going to help somebody. Instead, he turns on them and he joins the Nation of Domination and gets to do the fist, you know? And then as a member of the Nation of Domination, that's when it's like, that's like Dennis said, that's when he became, went from Rocky Maivia to The Rock. And then, but he was always being subservient to Farouk.
Yeah.
Or Ron Simmons to everybody else. And then it wasn't until he did the People's Eyebrow and turned on Ron Simmons when he became The Rock. Like when he beat, when Ken Shamrock made him tap at WrestleMania, but then he never let go of the ankle lock. So The Rock kept his title, and he was like being put on a stretcher. People were booing the hell out of him until he raised his hand while he was on the stretcher, and I was like, "This, I love this guy." It's like, he just kept, yeah. And then he started doing the people's elbow, and then that's when it just blew up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it's funny the evolution of, like, yeah, you mentioned the people's elbow, how initially it was supposed to really kind of like irk the crowd, right? Yeah, it was supposed to just be like
super troll move.
Yeah, right. That's the word I'm looking for. Like, you're needling the crowd for a reaction of like, hey, I could like drop this elbow, but I'm going to take like a minute to drop it. To the point where it became like what it was at the end of his career, where it's like, you know, the crowds are popping. Like, thousands of people at WrestleMania are popping when he starts the motion, you know, when he throws the elbow pad. Yeah. Yeah. Still my favorite part of like SmackDown versus Raw, the video game on the PlayStation 2, because the animation would like redo the whole ring. But anyway, so yeah, Nation of Domination Rock was solid because he was such a natural bad guy, I guess. And excuse me, and his rise, like, you can't really say his mid-career or that part of his career without mentioning Triple H and how the Nation of Domination was on the rise as a heel faction, like the bad guys, versus DX, you know, the Generation X, with Triple H, HBK for the early incarnation, and, you know, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, excuse me, towards the end, and Xbox, sorry, can't forget that guy. So, you know,
you say Xbox or Xbox?
My bad, X-Pac, or Six-Pac, whatever he called himself that week. So, you know, it was a great rise for two dudes who would still be a huge impact like 20, 30 years later. You know, Triple H is running the WWF from behind the scenes. He's second in command just beneath Vince, and Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, is running Hollywood, and he's the name synonymous with WWF. So yeah, I love the early matches. You brought up the Intercontinental match. One of my favorite has to be, yeah, the Triple H and the Rock ladder match. Want to say SummerSlam. Yes,
that's okay. The match that made both of them superstars.
Yeah, dude. What year was that?
98.
Okay, because part of me felt like we saw it together, but, or maybe I'm just imagining
that. That was one of my graduation presents.
Oh, nice. Back before the network existed. Yeah. And
my dad was like, you graduated from high school? Here, you can watch SummerSlam.
Here's a $50 pay-per-view.
No, back then it was like 30 bucks.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Back then, $30 was
really good. Back then, $30 was actually like $900.
So yeah, look, that was one of my favorite matches because, you know, the ladder match in WWF lore, it's a kind of a big deal, even for the mid card. You know, you have HBK versus Razor Ramon in WrestleMania 10, the huge TLC match that you guys got to see in WrestleMania. You know, whenever there's a ladder involved, you know, there's careers being made. So that one was not an exception, and I loved. Yeah, I love the action because you're right. It made them who they were, and moving forward, you could tell that they were going to be main eventers. You know, like I mentioned, both Triple H and The Rock started off in their own little factions, and in theory, I guess any one of them could have been the superstar main eventers. But you know, Vince or whomever was making the decisions made the right call and said, "You two will be the future of your factions. You'll be the leaders of this and that." So yeah, definitely one of my favorite matches.
It's funny that after that, at least if I remember right, though, I mean, yeah, that kind of made his career and everything, but I think the one that's the feud right after that, wasn't that with Mankind?
Yeah.
Oh, where
brutal. Yes.
Yeah. Where that's when he allies himself with Vince the again? McMahons and everything.
Becomes the corporate. Yeah, he goes from the people's champ to the corporate champ.
So
yeah.
The funny, I remember specifically from that is, after SummerSlam, people loved the hell. I mean, they were already loving him, but then, like, after SummerSlam, he was like, okay, I'm ditching the Nation, and I'm doing my own thing. So everyone was like, oh, he's going to be the guy that's going to face Stone Cold. And then they were, like, building him up to be the next, you know, babyface alongside Stone Cold. So much so that when they did that Deadly Games tournament, everybody thought that Mankind was the one that was going to be the corporate champion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when he turned it around, and Vince McMahon did the whole Montreal Screwjob Part 2, and rang the bell when Dennis's favorite move was applied, which is The Rock doing the sharpshooter. And they rang the
he has big thighs.
He does. He doesn't need to sit that low. Thanks, Moon.
Or hold his ankles or anything. Yeah.
You just hold his shoelace and you got it. But it was like that, and it was like it's just crazy, that moment where it's like, everybody loves you, but now you're aligned with the biggest bad guy. And now you are the biggest bad guy. And then it was just months of him and Foley just beating the crap out of each other. You know, the biggest pop you'll still ever hear in all of wrestling is Stone Cold coming out and hitting The Rock with a steel chair so that Mankind wins the title.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one where he uses, like, a forklift to pin him?
No. It was just a regular Monday Night Raw. And then, like, they were doing... It was a no DQ match, Rock versus Mankind. And then they were, like, all brawling. And then all of a sudden you hear the glass break. And then the crowd just loses it. Because it's Stone Cold. And then he clocks The Rock. Well, not on, apparently on YouTube, something happens with Stone Cold in a chair, or The Rock in a chair, because there seems to be a pause.
Yeah, right, and then The Rock ends up on the floor.
Yeah, like, what? And all of a sudden, Mankind is on top of him. But that moment, like, it's crazy that those moments, that moment made Austin, or not made Austin, but it elevated Austin. It made Mankind, and it made The Rock.
So, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why I always think that Triple H has always been pissed off at those two, three guys in particular.
Yeah.
Because it should have been him, but it wasn't. It was the three guys who were just like, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. Like, Triple H, I think, spends the rest of his, like, in-ring career trying to be like, I'm one of the big guys.
Yeah, that's why when he beat Foley, he was like, I'm going to literally try to murder this guy.
We'll bury you, like,
yeah, alive. And he never got his, like... I think he never got his win back on The Rock, but
yeah.
I don't know.
We're still waiting. You're teasing it. But yeah, so, you know, Dennis was alluding to earlier, like, I think that was the match that we were actually hanging out already when I think Dennis was going to talk about The Rock versus Mankind and the chairs and the chair shots, or the infamous, The Rock scrambled Mick Foley's brains, and it was like, oh my God, it's that old Simpsons meme of like, stop, he's dead already. Yeah. So, what do you remember about that matchup, dude?
The tooth?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's I'm thinking of a different...
That's Undertaker.
That's the Undertaker, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Every time I think of Mankind getting beaten up, in my head, it's still the tooth, like, sticking out. Sorry.
Still horrible.
No, again, am I imagining thing? I thought there was one match where... Wasn't
yeah,
there, like,
there's a
The Super Bowl
Sunday Night Heat or Halftime Heat.
Yeah, and then that's how we got, because I remember I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. The fact that, you know, it would take a forklift to pin The Rock down.
Oh. No, that's right. The best part about that is it switched to first person perspective. So it was a camera going down, and aiming at The Rock, and then all of a sudden it was The Rock. I was like, what the. But we were all like, yep, that's how you beat him.
There's a camera in his eye.
You can still watch that match on, like, I think it's on YouTube. It's hilarious. But, you know, so the brutality of that Royal Rumble match where he beat him with, I think, 13 headshots.
Jeez, dude, yeah.
I remember watching that pay-per-view, at least with Dennis, and all of us were like, you know, Jesus Christ, like, enough is enough. Like,
yeah.
The fact that, and then if you've ever seen Beyond the Mat, which is a documentary they made during that movie, or during that pay-per-view. Foley's wife and kids are like, stop it.
Yeah, they're bawling, right?
They're crying.
Yeah.
His wife had to take him out. Because not
the
only...
one where he was, like, tied up?
You know, he's handcuffed.
He is handcuffed.
So literally, he can't, you know, absorb any of the blows of the shoulder, because he got nothing to pull up. So he's just like, okay, I guess The Rock. And then even after the thing in the taping, Foley goes, hey, didn't I ask you to stop? And The Rock was like, yeah, I asked you, should I keep going? And you said, yeah, keep hitting me. And then Foley was like, oh, that was a bad idea. But, like, it's those were the things where it's like, before that, you hated the guy because he was aligned with, like, the corporation and everything. This time, you hate him because he's vicious. He nearly, like, massacred a guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have the combination of the swagger that everybody hated, like, from Ric Flair. It's like, you hate him because you want to be him, but at the same time, he had a violent streak where it's like, you don't want to mess with the guy because something bad's gonna happen to you, like, or he'll hold a camera while he's fighting you.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember. Like, I remember watching that, and this was before he turned, you know, he turned again, became a face.
Yep.
But I remember that was the it was brutal, but I guess the word we respect, because it was such a great showing. It was such a great character that it was compelling TV at that time. Where yes, you see the crying faces of Mick Foley's kids, but you're like, yes,
so bad.
More. One more chair shot, right? Yeah.
But that was kind of the end of the Mankind Foley like feud, right?
With him, yeah. Because then it was the feud with Austin.
Yeah.
And then that was the feud that, if they had ever wanted to, could have taken the company for a decade. Because those are like literally the two biggest names. And then when they fought each other, they actually did good wrestling matches where it's like, I can't wait to see this match.
Yeah. Because I know, like, unfortunately, during their peak, I believe that's when Austin, like, he was injured, or, like, unfortunately, that's when he was hurting. You know, he had that infamous neck injury from taking that pile driver. And The Rock was on his way up, and, you know, you really wanted these two to match up and face each other. And, like, it's good, I guess, that The Rock faced off with Mankind before he went. Moved on to Stone Cold, because it showed that The Rock could be brutal and he could, you know, go toe to toe with Stone Cold, who has like historically been bleeding all over the ring. And you know, he was that guy, he was that old school guy who could take a chair shot, who could take a beating and still keep going. And you know, WrestleMania 17, sorry, I had to think about that one. 17, right?
Which one?
The biggest one, like basically the one
my
where
favorite,
like,
WrestleMania,
yeah, the precisely. Greatest WrestleMania main event, arguably. You know, it led to one of the best matches, because you're right, like what Harold said, there were some matches back then, they called it garbage matches, when you just resort to throwing, you know, literal garbage cans and chair shots to extend a fight, or, you know, and it wasn't very technical, but The Rock and Stone Cold, they had magic, dude. Like, they could do the garbage matches, but they could also, you know, put some, it sounds funny talking about wrestling, but you know, they put pathos into the match. You felt bad. You felt good. You wanted to root for one guy or the other, and you didn't know who to root for, because both of them, you could tell, were putting it all on the line. So, yeah, definitely one of my favorite matches. I think we brought it up during our WrestleMania conversation. Stone Cold versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17.
So, the other one I wanted to... And I'm not as good with you guys in terms of, like, the chronological order here. But, you know, considering... that we just talked about, The Rock and Mankind feuding, and that was really brutal. I still remember one of my most favorite, like, times for The Rock was when Mankind came back, and him and Foley had the whole Rock and
Sock. Oh yeah,
you know, yeah. The Rock and Sock connection, where there's still one point where Mick Foley kind of gifts The Rock his own, like, sock. And then the sock itself has the people's eyebrow on it. I don't know, for some reason that's always been, you know, aside from Mick Foley's tooth, Mick Foley looking like he's dying, the fact that there was a sock that had The Rock's face on it is always going to be classic Rock for me. Which, again, that's the funny part, is that during that time, even though he was heel, his popularity was still growing.
Yeah.
You know, unlike the other times where when heels aren't necessarily that respected, I think that maybe it was the era. Maybe it was the time where you have the anti-heroes of Stone Cold. But the fact that, you know, you were doing all these bad things, where, you know, he's still considered the bad guy, but he was still getting most of the pops.
Yeah,
he was still getting the applause and everything.
And you still saw a ton of Rock t-shirts in the crowd, and, you know, and those foam fingers.
Yeah.
You guys still have those foam fingers?
I think Brahma Bull?
Yeah, the Brahma Bull one.
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Oh.
But they still, like... they always love chanting Rocky.
Yeah, so easily chantable. So I think that's the best part for his character. Is they, like, any city, any town that they went to, easy to yell The Rock.
Yeah, and then I loved the like when Dennis said when they did the Rock and Sock thing, and him and Foley would have to do the tandem people's elbow, but Foley can barely jump over the Big Show, so it was like the worst elbow God ever created. Ah, jeez. I mean, you got to give The Rock credit. Just as, like, you give Hulk Hogan credit for getting a crappy leg drop over as the biggest, most devastating move of all time. that he got an elbow over.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he hit him with an elbow.
No, but that's the thing, though. One thing that you got to admit was that people were so, other wrestlers were so willing to take it.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I don't know specific ones, but I remember watching The Rock do a people's elbow on Mick Foley, and Mick Foley's body would turn into a V, just because he just sells that people elbow, and you're like, oh my god,
he got shot in the heart.
That people elbow just broke him.
It gets him right in the sternum. Also, the best, greatest people's elbow of all time was him wearing dress shoes.
Yes.
And sliding. And dropping the elbow on the British Bulldog.
And he slid to the
spot. And it was like so cool. Like, you have to admit, no wrestler has ever been so big that they named a show after him. A show that exists to this day. So 20 some odd years later, SmackDown is still a show.
Yeah, and not to be too, inside baseball stuff, but the SmackDown show sold for like a couple billion to Fox. Yeah. So it sells, and that's great. And speaking of words, here's some one of the things that the Rock introduced to my vocabulary was jabroni, which I still use today. I call my cousins that because they are jabronis. But it was such a funny little inside wrestling term that became pretty mainstream. So jabroni basically means any guy who will take a fall for you or is not worth your time or will basically fall after one or two hits. So yeah, the Rock was just chock full of catchphrases and stuff. That's his shtick, right?
Was the funny part is that it kind of shows you. We kind of prefaced this whole thing that now he's a movie star.
Yes.
No, but it kind of shows you that that was his... Even though, yes, he was a gifted wrestler, it's the fact that he has comedic timing.
Oh, yeah.
He realized what was good.
Mm-hmm.
He realized what was bad. And, he used something as stupid as the eyebrow.
Yeah.
And how many times was there a show where basically we were watching him raise his hand and do the eyebrow for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And we would eat it up.
It's sarcastic.
Or when do you smell what the Rock's getting? He's just going, and we're like, yes.
I kind of started appreciating the later ones where it's like, do you like pie? Poontang pie. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
He fully embraced the character. He's like, I can say whatever I want. As long as it's really dumb, people are going to eat it up.
Yeah.
There's no other person that Chris Jericho could have debuted against.
Oh, yeah.
That would have made
it
perfect.
Great call.
Because if it was anybody else besides The Rock, they wouldn't have gotten, the reaction that Jericho ended up getting. And B, Jericho would never have been that star because The Rock was like, yeah, he did the whole, who are you? And he was like, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your name is kind of deal. But if he doesn't play along with that shtick, Jericho gets nothing out of that.
Yeah.
But the fact.
Better in the water.
Exactly. Yeah. But instead, he has literally the greatest debut of all time because of the banter that he has with The Rock. So, like you said, besides just the wrestling and being, the character, those interviews or those segments with him and other wrestlers, he elevated those guys all the time.
Yeah, it was almost unfair to the other wrestlers who tried, it came to a point where it felt like they're just trying to photocopy or copy as much of The Rock as they can. It's like, nah, The Rock's The Rock. You can't.
Yeah, Vinci Guerrero.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If you smell what the juice, if you smell what the juice is cooking.
Just like, oh no, don't do that.
Oh man. So, we kind of talked a lot about his wrestling career. What else? What are some other memorable catchphrases, moments?
It has to be the icon.
By the way, just so you know, Harold just pointed a finger at me.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, I got him.
To kind of interrupt me.
Yeah.
This guy. Backhand you.
But the icon versus icon.
Oh.
Rock versus Hulk Hogan. when I just always remember that they signed the NWO and they were like, we finally have Hulk Hogan in the same company with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who does he want to fight? And Rock said, Stone Cold was like, I'm going to beat you pretty badly. And then Hogan was like, I don't want that to happen. He's like, I want Rocky. And only Rocky made Hogan like such a threat. And then have it turn around where everybody started cheering for Hogan. And Rocky was like, all right, then I'll be the bad guy for this match up until the very end, until I beat you. But that match should not have been good.
Yeah.
There was no way that match should have gone. First of all, that should have been the main event, which everyone says. That's why I always feel bad for Jericho and Triple H. And for me, yeah. Like, oh, dude, the whole, everybody's, they love this match, and now we're stuck after them. But, like, there was no possibility, because Hogan hadn't wrestled in a year or so,
mm-hmm.
and he hadn't wrestled a good match in 20 years. So there was no way that should have been anywhere near great. And it was literally like, I can't believe that I want both of these guys to win.
Yeah, there was like four moves.
Yeah. There's a leg drop, there's people's elbow.
There's a punch.
There's a back break.
There's a couple of elbows.
There was Hogan's usual whipping with the weight belt, which for some reason is legal. I mean, and then to
referee
do it,
was like,
to do it against an African-American man, that's terrible. Yeah.
But in their defense, they were in Canada.
So that's true.
So Canadians allow it.
Well, that's okay.
When you cross the border upwards, that's when things start getting legal.
Oh, that's crazy, Hogan.
I have no idea what that accent is.
My Canadian wrestling fan? I don't know. My Bret Hart. That's my Bret Hart.
Sounds like he's in Fargo.
Right.
He's Minnesotan. Close, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers in Minnesota, too, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah, rice and rice.
Like, snow.
It's not
funny. But that, dude, that match, it's like, when you watch it, it's like one of those first times where you're like, as much as we say we want to suspend belief when we're watching it, you're literally like suspending belief, because it's like when Hogan dropped the leg drop, it looked like he decapitated The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, you've never seen someone's leg shoot straight up after getting
like
hit.
So Dennis mentioned earlier how how Mankind sold the people's elbow. The Rock like literally like platform, like planked upwards.
And that's the most amazing feat.
Yes.
Like, how do you even do that?
No,
like,
when
physically, how
do you like watch your body? Like, The Rock was the best person to take the leg drop. Obviously, the best person to take the stunner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anytime they do those stunner compilations, I'm like, just cut everybody out and just show me The Rock.
Like, The Rock would be able flipping. To stand up,
yeah.
Turn around, and then fall flat on his face.
It's amazing. And then it's like, he doesn't get enough. Yeah, it's silly, but come on, dude. If you. It's like he's getting shot by a shotgun every time.
Every time.
And then when that guillotine, like, that leg drop just hits him, you're like, oh my god, he's not kicking out of it.
He's dead.
Oh, Jim Ross. Yeah. He made those two. Oh, dude. So, and then later Rock, I mean, he kept fighting even though, like, there was a period after, you know, those main events with The Rock, with Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan, where he starts dabbling in acting. I think, like, one of his first roles was, we're not going to go into his movie career, obviously, but I do want to talk about that little space and time when he was doing Scorpion King. I think that's one of his first movies while still wrestling.
Yes.
And he invents a whole new persona of, like, Hollywood Rock.
Yes.
Which is classic, great, again, comedic timing, the stuff he can't teach, charisma, and just being like a complete and utter douche, right? That's basically what it was. You know, he had the shaved head, he debuts his huge, you know, Samoan or Pacific Islander tattoo, and he comes back with a whole new demeanor. He wants, the people want to cheer him, but then, like, at a turn of a dime, he'll throw whatever city he's in under the bus and have the crowd, like, booing him and doing everything like that. It's just masterclass in, like, manipulating crowds. You know, that was later Rock. I mean, obviously, I guess he couldn't do the same moves, or he couldn't keep up, like, the way he was when he was younger, but he still kept, you know, crowds going, right?
Yeah, he did the guitar gig.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The rock concert in Sacramento, where he said he called the Kings the Queens.
And he said,
we'll see you in May when the Lakers beat you. And I was like, oh, man, yes.
It's like, but it's so great though, because like he's not even from LA, but it's like, hey, but he's Hollywood, you know? Hollywood, exactly. So. That's his persona. It's like he's bigger than whatever town he's in. So yeah, that was great of him to like just flip the script and turn into a new persona.
So I guess at least for me, one of the questions I would have then is The Rock's rise, popularity, and stardom. Was it his wrestling or was it his personality? You know, I mean, yes, it was a combination, but which one do you feel was stronger? Considering that Lewis kind of talked about how in the later years when he started actually acting and he didn't really have the same, even though his body was still
huge. No, he got
bigger.
He's bigger.
You know, but he wasn't doing any cross bodies. Yeah. You know, every single day. Well, not in that way.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but you still had the same, if not even more popularity, The Rock. So, you know, what, in your opinion, what made The Rock, you know, the person that we know of right now as The Rock?
I think it was his charisma. I think it really was. There were some, I mean, Harold mentioned his interviews or whenever Jim Ross or whomever would talk to him in the backstage.
Jonathan Coachman.
Oh, God. The stuff he would call him too, dude.
Hermie.
Yes! That was the word. Like, you can't say that anymore. I can't even tell my kids what that meant because, yeah, they watched the WWE Network and I can't wait for Noah to see that. Like, what's a Hermie?
Look it up.
Look at him, buddy.
He's a love bug.
I know. Safety.
Yeah. As you're going to see with Lindsay Lohan. Yeah.
So you watch those early interviews or those backstage segments and, like, personally, I almost felt like, yeah, this guy can make it bigger than just wrestling. Like, I honestly felt back then, like, he could do movies. He could do TV even. I mean, there's some guys, like, before him that I thought, like, they play a certain character, like your Macho Mans and your Roddy Pipers who are, you know, your boisterous wrestling archetypes. But The Rock had just such a crazy delivery and demeanor that I was like, dude, this guy says superstar, not just wrestling superstar, but just superstar, period. And, you know, part of me kind of felt like patting myself on the back when he finally got big, or, you know, he started making it to Hollywood. Like, yeah, I knew it. I could see it. But then again, it's not just me, because, like, when he was at his best, millions of people watched WWF. So every one of those fans knew. You know, that's why we tune in. It's because of his charisma. I mean, like I said, you know, he's not going to do any Hurricanranas or any, like, Eddie Guerrero top rope moves, but still, you watched him. You know, if you had a choice between watching, I was about to say Chris Benoit. Yeah, we'll say Chris Benoit. A Chris Benoit match or, you know, a Rock promo, more likely than not, you know.
The Rock's head would be taken off, right?
Yikes. Oh, no. But, yeah, so, you know, people would more often than not vote to watch The Rock cut a promo instead of a technical, you know, match.
Yeah, it like you said, it may be a good combination, but his personality and charisma superseded any other character besides Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think the only person that ever became parallel to those two would probably be Ric Flair. In terms of what they say, talking someone into the building. Hogan was very boring in that way.
He had one speech.
He would just say something, brother, brother, brother. And then you can say the same about The Rock, and he would only have his catchphrases, but he literally was like, everything in between, he'd either joke about something or get something, a point across, and he would be like, okay, I want to see what happens next with this. And they said that they tried to reignite that by using Cena. And Cena, it just never made that connection the way that The Rock was able to. Yeah. I mean, John Cena, it was supposed to be... They said he was supposed to be the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. He more or less tried to make himself into the next Rock. And that's what it ended up where they got into that whole argument about Cena literally saying, oh, The Rock doesn't care about wrestling anymore. He's too good for wrestling. And that's why, like, literally Rock came back and was like, I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to wrestle you. And then those matches were things. Actually, they were actually pretty good. Rocky was put on 30 pounds of muscle since he started. From Fast and Furious to wrestling again. So his neck disappeared. And that's something I'm very familiar with. And, but he was still able to put on, like, compelling matches.
Yeah.
Him and Cena. Unfortunately, him versus CM Punk were Punk should have won, but then they were like, no, we're going to give The Rock the title.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, but I mean, those moments just goes to show how much people love that character, that when they did the whole announcement of, we have a special guest host, and you never would imagine it would be him, because like even Cena said, he was too big for wrestling at the time that he came back. But when he did, it was like welcoming him back with open arms, because we know that he never gets to the success he is achieved, you know, globally without his start in wrestling. And yeah. So fans are always going to be like, you love him now, but we loved him first.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That's how I was feeling. Like, he was our guy first.
Yeah. When I went to watch, and then we're talking about, like you say, we talk about the movies, but when I went to watch The Scorpion King, the crappy one, The Mummy Returns, not Scorpion King. But when he came out for those 5 minutes, and people were like, who the hell is this guy? And I was the only one in the theater going like, Rocky, Rocky. And then when his
scene... Shut up, you!
Yeah, when his scene was over, I was like,
oh.
Well, Brendan Fraser. And then...
Brendan.
With honors. And see, you know, man. Anyway. But, like, you know, like, his claim is always going to be... Like, the people are saying is, no matter what he does, he will always be, at least in our eyes... You know, The Rock, professional wrestler / actor, not the other way around.
Right, yeah.
Now, sorry, I blanked out for
a second.
No.
Start thinking about The Rock.
Okay, so I think that about wraps.
Rocks it up.
Okay. So, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed our podcast as usual. No, we do this for the fun of it and for our passion, but at the same time, you know, it would be really helpful if you can help us out by, you know, sharing our content, liking our content. Well, not just like, share our content, mm-hmm. Damn it. You know, one way you can kind of interact with us is, as usual, at Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. That is twofanboys1casual.com. That is our website. Lewis has two new articles there. You know,
I wrote a thing. Yeah, my wrist hurt.
And then he wrote something. And then, of course, other ways for us for you to contact us is...
On Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the posts or these podcasts go live, we'll be posting it there. Like Dennis has been mentioning, please share and tag. And tell your friends all about us, how fun we are sometimes, how clever Harold is.
Sometimes.
How Dennis is. So share.
Like and subscribe.
Hit
what
that
up,
bell.
YouTube?
What up?
Like and subscribe. Also on Twitter and Instagram, where you can like and subscribe at Two Fanboys, One Casual.
You think somebody has likeandsubscribe.com somewhere?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Really? Let's check it. You're looking for okay, now? That's it for us
got
today.
To be, right?
I don't know. You know, if you have any questions, please feel free to hit us up.
Yeah.
As usual, this is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is NPR. You always come to that.
This is Roger.